If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Which makes a lot of sense, and why a lot of the general public don't invest is they don't want to deal with tenants and toilets.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dan Schoenbachler is based out of New Jersey as a real estate agent and broker. He then partnered up with someone else where he got into four commercial real estate deals and has continued with Schoen Capital Group to invest in various assets around the country. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Oh, this is great, man. I'm excited to hear about your journey. I have dealt with quite a few real estate agents and, you know, especially on the residential side, I find that so few of them have even the slightest understanding of the investor or the investor mindset. So walk us through your journey from agent to now capital group. Give us that background of kind of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there. And I'd love to just kind of hear that journey.
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me. And the funny thing is, I got into real estate being an agent to eventually own a bunch and not have to sell any real estate. I was actually about a year into the financial advising route. So I was already helping people grow their wealth, use tax advantaged products to, again, continue their wealth growing. And I was actually prospecting a gentleman who happened to be a commercial real estate broker. And he had told me that over his 25-year career or so, sometimes he had some clients who asked if he wanted to pitch in and go in on the deal, get some equity. So he only owned no more than 10 to 15% of about six different assets. And he said, in a couple of years, I'll be 65 and I'll have about $400,000 a year coming in passively.
Wow.
And I almost dropped his golf clubs because I was caddying for him at the moment. And I was like, yeah, how do I get into that?
Right.
Said, actually, we could use some help. We have a $140 million deal on the table. It's a portfolio deal. And he and his partner pretty much exclusively worked in multifamily assets. So I got licensed, and unfortunately it was August 2008, and in September Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, the deal fell apart, and I moved back in with my parents. So that was my start into it, but I always had that mentality of, I want to be the owner, I want passive income. And a few various odd jobs here and there to get me through the recession, relying heavily on caddying as well, got me to where I eventually switched over to Keller Williams, who had just opened up shop in Hoboken, New Jersey, where I was living and working out of. So there I got the proper sales training. Also, the upswing of the market helped a lot. Can't ignore that. And I was able to then sell over $70 million in property since, which then I started coming back to the investing side as soon as I had money again, and bought a small duplex that I lived in with my wife, my now wife, and house hacked that for a little bit. And then I met a partner who's just starting a syndication. And I said, this is the thing that I've been looking for. It's that thing I knew was out there where you can, you know, leverage your skills, not necessarily have to foot the whole bill and do every task, but be part of a team to help get you to this common goal of owning a large piece of property that will create tremendous cash flow for people.
Right, right. So you guys got those. You got those first few deals under your belt, and you were hooked.
Yeah, just the concept alone, I knew this was absolutely where I wanted to go. And it's funny that you started in the beginning saying that what a lot of agents don't know. And I've kind of been on a personal mission, not just for syndication, but just in general. It's amazing how few realtors or real estate agents don't invest in real estate. And I feel like that's part of the problem, because sometimes we'll get a negative view on our industry. And I think that to some degree, there's a big issue that we're viewed as hypocrites. I went around and started teaching, since Keller Williams is very training focused and education focused, I started teaching a class about how to get started in multifamily investing and the syndication process. And it's Maybe it's leveraging your brokerage experience to find the deals. Maybe you're a super analytical person, maybe a background in finance or mathematics. So you can help and probably love and thrive doing the underwriting and then all the other various aspects of putting a deal together. So I was going around from office to office teaching this class, and my mission is just to get more agents involved because we're the ones that should be seeing the best deals first, since we're making the initial outreach to find people and opportunities. So why not take off your realtor hat and put on your investor hat, go after it yourself. And the main thing that I found across the board, which makes a lot of sense and why a lot of the general public don't invest, is they don't want to deal with tenants and toilets. I understand. Even with my own duplex, I've had the good fortune of tremendously good tenants. But then that occasional annoying little thing comes up and it's just like, oh, I have to get up, go over there, do this, do that, call this person. I'd much rather just sit in my house and not have to worry about that, which essentially can be a point that syndication can do for you.
Right, right. Yeah, especially on the passive side. What was the reception to the or from the agents when you taught this course?
I have to walk around with a lot of paper towels because I'm constantly wiping down the desk after their jaws drop for the whole session. It's amazing how many people don't realize what's out there and they're just blown away. It's just something that initially, years past, was one of those things only available to the rich. But thanks to things like Dodd-Frank Act and whatnot, opening up crowdfunding rules and SEC regulations, there's a lot more options now for people that might not be accredited investors, meaning having high income over $200,000 a year if you're single, $300,000 a year if you're married, or $1 million net worth. So that now opens the floodgates for more of the average Joe, we'll say, the sophisticated non-accredited investor, to be able to invest in some of these deals. Because they might have, you know, $25,000-$50,000 of disposable income available that they would like to put to work for themselves, but they don't know much outside of the stock market or whatever, you know, a financial advisor might put in front of them, versus finding some of these private placement deals, which is like investing in Apple before they went public kind of thing. No.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I never really thought about agents as being hypocritical necessarily. I just have, I've always thought of it because I do obviously have my real estate license as well. And, you know, I don't have my own brokerage, so I hang my license somewhere. And, just a number of people, even on the residential side, like, do you guys understand what a rental property is or a fix and flip? Not even getting complicated, but just basic stuff. And most of what I encountered was a very blinders on, you know, we are transaction focused. We are going to get our commission check when I sell this or buy this house and then we're done. And so training me for, and I never had the teacher in me. So it sounds like you have that ability to teach and to explain but I never had that teacher in me to, you know, really bring some along and groom someone to understand that. It's like, I always kind of felt like you either had the drive or you didn't, but it sounds like I'm completely wrong.
Yeah. I've always, you know, it took so long for myself to get established and get a career running, even when real estate utterly failed for me. And it wasn't necessarily lack of trying. Commercial real estate, of course, froze first. And because businesses and companies don't need to move, you don't need to cash out maybe. But on the residential end, which I got into later, people have to live somewhere. So they have to sell. So they might be forced to sell at that loss now because they might not be able to ride it out, or they have finally landed a new job and it's on the other side of the country, but it's the only job they could find in the recession. So time to pick up and move. So residential kept moving a bit, even if it was not a good result for some people. So that's why I ended up switching into residential to get more transactions and have some sort of deal flow.
Sure.
And it's been nice having my foot in both doors. But yeah, the tax benefits that are available through syndication are something a lot of people definitely don't realize. And again, it's the forward thinking that pretty much everybody in residential sales is commission only. So what is your retirement plan? You stop working, or you don't sell anything this week, you might as well have been unemployed this week. But if you're invested in something, your money's working for you, you constantly have some money coming in, even if you didn't sell a home. So I get people thinking more towards retirement, achieving financial goals, you know, getting college paid for your kids, that sort of thing. So that's kind of where I target. And it's been very receptive because, again, a lot of agents, especially where I'm based out of, just outside New York City, we sell very expensive homes. So a lot of people in my office have very high income, and they definitely need, on top of that, the tax write-offs from like depreciation and everything. So
right,
it's been, I've been able to help a lot of people, which has been really rewarding.
That's super cool. Yeah. And you bring up a good point there because if as an agent, I mean, you're limited, you know, especially if you're working under somebody under a different broker or working under a broker, you're limited in what you can write off. I mean, you can only write off your cell phone and your car and your, you know, whatever your supplies are so much. And those, I mean, even if you buy the nicest everything, you run out pretty fast. So having a syndication you're a part of, especially right now with bonus depreciation and things like that, that can be a very attractive investment from a taxation standpoint. Let's jump a little bit more into Shone Capital. And can you kind of talk to us about your fund? Tell us the different asset classes you're investing in. Just kind of give us a breakdown on that and what you guys are doing with it.
Sure. I've always forever thought of myself as kind of an opportunist. So I kind of follow where the opportunity is. And that's not to say that I get all scattered and I try and do a million different things. The riches are in the niches. I try and stay as focused as possible when I move forward with something. So we'll just set that background first.
But sure.
Started with multifamily. It's kind of the easiest thing to understand. People have to live somewhere. Renting an apartment, you know, did it in college. After college, you know, you can't necessarily jump out of school being able to afford to buy a home. So you rent where you need to live. So very easy to understand what I got my start in with my first commercial broker. It's also easy to convey to other people because, again, most individuals understand living. However, getting into something like office, they might understand CAM charges and all the other stuff that's associated with different various aspects like office, industrial, things like that. But multifamily is kind of the core of what we focus on. And that's where I definitely have my largest network of top operators across the country. So I tend to partner with a lot of those people and bring some of my skills to the general partnership side. It helps my investors because I'm also able to diversify opportunities for them, people that specialize in different markets. So I have partners in Texas that currently have a project in Austin, Texas that I was able to get people into. Also currently in assets in Kentucky, Atlanta market, and Florida, Orlando market. So with that, I also want to make sure, I definitely had a lot of investors come back to me and always asking for a little diversity. So diversification, I heard someone phrase once, which I love, is not the art of getting wealthy, it's the art of not losing money.
Right.
Sure. So all you hear from these financial planners and stuff, you need to be diversified, you need to be diversified. Well, you can be diversified within real estate, within a certain asset class. So myself, I'm in these syndications and multifamily. I personally own and manage a duplex here in New Jersey. I'm invested in a title company, all this other stuff, essentially invest in my own brokerage business, selling homes and invest in myself. So I have multiple things spread out amongst the real estate itself. So even if, you know, real estate went down, not everything's going to crash at once. It's different things are happening in different buckets that I've put my investment in. So similarly, looking for other asset classes, I've been diving tremendously into self-storage and mobile home parks, which are traditionally a lot more recession-proof. And all we've been talking about the past 4 or 5 years is it's great it's going up, but it's got to come down at some point. So right. Always being prepared and offering, being able to potentially offer some other asset classes, which haven't had an opportunity to pull the trigger on anything in that those areas yet. Currently, I am actually going a little outside real estate, although we have industrial property involved in it. However, currently I have a 506C raise, which is for accredited investors only, for an indoor hemp farm, which is a form of cannabis that does not get you high. It's marijuana that has THC and gets you high. But hemp is essentially the form of cannabis that's super high in CBD, and that's the most pretty much medicinal part of the plant. So that's the anti-inflammatory, helps relieve stress and anxiety and whatnot. So we are growing in Wilmington, Delaware, in an opportunity zone also, which is fantastic, helping bring more jobs to the lower income area. And we also have a nonprofit wrapped around our workforce too. We're using a recidivism program where we're actually helping former convicts from prison get these green collar jobs and learning these agricultural skills to be able to get back in the workforce, because the awful cycle, and I was actually a criminal justice major in college, and this is the only time I've been able to apply my bachelor's degree so far, is I actually understood this. So there's a horrible cycle where you get a prison record and suddenly you're virtually unemployable. So right. Trying to get back on your feet, support your family, support yourself is near impossible. So here we're giving an opportunity to get back in there, even some profit sharing involved, so they can be motivated to even make a better living than we're already providing them. And it'll help them from going back to old ways, which they're usually forced to do, so that they can feed themselves. So pretty excited about that.
That's super cool. That's super cool. Yeah. So you're doing an indoor hemp farm. Now I know, you know, hemp used to be a widely grown crop here in the States. So yeah. I'm curious, and in Kentucky, I know Kentucky has a big push for hemp growers. And of course they legalized legalized growing of hemp again here. I don't know what year that was. It's been the last 5 years. You could probably tell me. But why did you guys elect to do that indoors versus just doing it out in the, you know, somewhere in Kentucky and buying some land and doing it there?
I actually talked to someone who specializes in opportunity zones and happens to be from Kentucky originally. And he said, why wouldn't you just go buy all this land for pennies versus a 70,000 plus square foot warehouse? Although Delaware is relatively cheap compared to New Jersey, where I'm from. So it's still a relatively good real estate deal. So to answer that question, there's actually a big divide between outdoor and indoor. And outdoor, and anyone that maybe has grazed the headlines instantly will say, oh, hemp, CBD, oversaturated market.
Sure.
Well, the headlines said that a couple of years ago because pretty much every farmer was growing it to subsidize their crops and help bringing additional income. However, everyone was growing it with the mindset, if you grow it, they will come. Mm. And suddenly we had oversupply and not enough people are buying it. So yes, prices have gone way down on outdoor. And it's unfortunate that no one's, because it's somewhat of an emerging market, it's not everyone's jumping into it with a proper game plan. And a lot of people are not, let's say, formal business people. It's more the people coming out of the shadows of the black market that are, okay, now we'll just do this legally. So that's the beauty of the operation we started with. It's actually two real estate guys that I know. One's worked for publicly traded REITs, over $2 billion in experience, forming deals, managing property, et cetera. Other partner has an operations background, and then on the side had also self-built about a 50-unit portfolio himself that he managed. Mm. So these guys met through a syndication platform and at a conference and decided to team up, and they wanted to target opportunity zones because they loved the idea of the program, helping revitalize lower income parts of states, bringing jobs. And they realized that it's more opportunistic to create a business in an opportunity zone than to make a real estate play. Because real estate, the most efficient play is to build from the ground up. Now, anytime you develop, yeah, it's going to take probably 2 years if you're super quick from getting the land, approved plans, zoning, getting it built, et cetera. Who knows what can happen in between? COVID could hit. You know, here we are. Or Texas ice is over, as it has here in February 2021.
Right.
Who would have thought? But so they decided to go the business route, and they had heard about indoor farming, thought it was great, especially because you hear about food deserts. A lot of urban areas don't have access to the fresher food and whatnot. So they are exploring that in a crop that just had an incredibly high margin that they, through their research, was cannabis. And specifically going the hemp route, which is much easier to get a license. There's more of them than there are marijuana, much different regulations around each at the moment. So they had networked and through some contacts had someone local in Wilmington who had one and was looking to do something with it. So that's how the partnership formed. And fortunately, that gentleman in Wilmington already had an indoor farm, and he formed the nonprofit group with the recidivism program. So he was the one already having these returning citizens laboring and growing vegetables. And now we're going to be kind of farming out that workforce to grow the hemp now. But the demand for indoor is actually extremely high. And people want high quality, organic, grown, and consistent at that, grown product. And it shows. It's just like how in the past 10 years, craft beer has exploded because, hey, Budweiser is great, but people want variety and some of them want to challenge their palates a little more. So plus the fact that we can do 5 to 6 harvests a year versus outdoors, depending where you're at. I've heard of farmers up in Wisconsin and, you know, there's people all over with all different weather conditions. So you can get 1, maybe 2 harvests a year, depending on weather and cycle. And, you know, if it's too much overcast 1 year, you might not get the kind of production that you want. So this is a much more consistent. We even have a tissue culture lab where we're essentially Xeroxing the plants so that they are cloned properly and more consistent across the line. And being indoor, we're able to not have to use pesticides and all that. So it's a very organic process.
That's fascinating. Dan, I love all the things you've gotten into and the way that you have grown not only your own holdings, but of course your investors' holdings as well. And just love the approach that you've taken here in real estate. This is super cool. And I think this has been a great conversation. Let's jump here into the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Active or passive?
You pick.
I'll go with active since that's where I've spent my life. Whatever you're doing, do it consistently. If you're going to be, going after deals, stay in nonstop touch with those brokers, nonstop touch in touch with your investors. Just keep everything you're doing, just stay consistent and be in front of them at all times.
Love that. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I would say this past year has been expand my network tremendously. I actually didn't close a single deal last year. I'm okay with that. Lost a lot of bidding wars, which means we didn't overpay for anything. And the network and more opportunities I grew, I think this year is really going to be a slam dunk. So execution for this year, for sure.
That's awesome. I think you may have already answered this, but when it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
Share graciously. Share what you know, kind manner, just help everyone be a better person and everyone will get further together.
Right. That's great. Dan, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
You can email me at Dan, D-A-N, at shonecap.com. Dan at shonecap.com.
Perfect. Dan, thanks so much. This was great. Certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.